I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson, and today's podcast is all about work. And not just work, but hard work. One of the things I often hear from my patients is that when they work really hard, one of the things that they figure out pretty quickly is that when they work really hard, they end up having more work to do. Now, it seems almost paradoxical, but I think that many of you have certainly experienced this. So think about a situation where you did a really good job at your work, and because you did a really good job, your reward was to work on the next project or to have more work to do. What I'm referring to is the consequence of competence. And of course, that's the name of this podcast. The consequence of competence. You do a really good job, and the consequence is more work. Now, we have a tendency to interpret this as a negative. You know, we work really hard, and then we end up having to do more work. And we see that as a punishment, as something that we really would rather not experience. But let's think for a minute about why we work hard in the first place. Some people work hard because, well, they just do. That's just who they are. They are hardworking people. We all know those people if we're not those types of people ourselves. We work really hard because, well, we just believe that when we have a position, that when we have a job, we're supposed to work really hard. We're supposed to give 100% all the time. Others believe that we become really hard workers because, well, that's just the way that we were raised. Maybe we saw our parents work really hard, or we were just taught by our parents or by other loved ones, or those certain experiences that we had when we were growing up. We learned through modeling that working hard was just something that you were supposed to do as an adult. Now, others believe that we work hard because, well, that's sort of the meaning of life. And what I mean by that is that it's the meaning of life that we're here to work as hard as we can to make the world a better place, to make the world better when we leave it than it was when we entered it. And so we do everything that we can to improve not only our lives, but the lives of other people sharing this life experience with us. So if we have some of those perspectives, any of those perspectives about why we work hard, well, it sort of helps us appreciate the importance of working hard, even though we have this potential for a negative consequence of getting more work. So the purpose of this podcast is to talk a little bit about some strategies to help you if you're in the situation, or at least some things to consider if you're in a situation where your consequence for working hard is receiving more work. The first thing to think about is perhaps just shifting your perspective. So shifting the idea of getting more work as a consequence of working hard, shift it from thinking about it as a punishment to thinking about it as a reward. Now, it may be a little bit tough to do that at first, but think about what it means. If we work really hard and we are appreciated by our boss and appreciated to the point where he then gives us another assignment, another project to do that is a project that's really important for the company or really critical to the company's success, well, that is a reward. That is your boss or your employer putting a level of faith in you that he may not put in anyone else. So taking a quick shift in the way that you perceive how or why you were given additional work may help it be a little bit easier for you to accept. It may be a little bit easier for you to be okay with the idea of taking on another assignment as a consequence of working hard. Now, again, shifting your perspective isn't always an easy thing. It requires a little bit of work, and sometimes it requires intentional work. And that means you have to tell yourself that you need to think about it that way. You need to tell yourself, no, I'm not going to take that as a negative. I'm going to assume that this is a positive because that's the way that I choose to accept it. That's the way that I choose to view it. Now, the second strategy is to understand yourself a little bit more. And that takes a little bit of introspection. What I mean by understanding yourself a little bit more is you need to know your own limits. And so that may mean that you have to figure out how to say no sometimes. Saying no, believe me, I can appreciate the challenge of saying no. And the reason that I say that is because I'm the type of person, perhaps like you, where when new opportunities come, man, I am all over it. I am ready to go. I get energized by new experiences, new opportunities, and I really want to work hard and make those new realities. However, we have to recognize where our limits are. We have to be able to say no if the new projects or these consequences of competence begin to stretch us so much that our performance begins to falter. When we get to a position where the products that we're producing aren't as good as they were once were, well, that's going to create some other problems. Now, and if you work for, say you own your own company, or your boss asks you to do a new project because of how well you did on your previous project, if that new project begins to stretch you, it begins to make it more difficult for you to perform at the same level that you once did, well, your boss is going to quickly figure out that he or she may not be able to rely on you as they thought that they could. And so it could take this possibility of a very positive view of you and turn it into a negative very, very quickly. So it's really, really important that you do some of that introspection, that you look at yourself, look at your skills, look at what you can do, look at the demands around you, look at what you're expected to do, both at work and at home and in other parts of your life, and make sure that you're not stretching yourself so far that you're not able or that you're no longer able to perform at the level that you could in the past. So again, the first one is to shift your perspective a little bit, reorganize the way that you're viewing and interpreting the new assignment. And the second is to make sure that you know your own limitations. The third is something that we, especially we Americans, really have a difficult time with, and that is taking some time off. You know, there have been a lot of statistics that's come out about this, suggesting that compared to other countries, workers in the United States use their vacation time and holiday times far less than any other country. Well, I don't know if it's any other country, but most other countries. We tend to use vacations and use those kinds of opportunities to be off of work much less than other countries. That's a bizarre situation because here we fight so much to make sure that we have these great benefit packages when we go to and start working at new companies. We try to make sure that we have this time off that we can take if we want and need it. But yet we resist using it. We refuse to use it sometimes. Sometimes there have been many reports about people who will have, you know, weeks, if not months worth of vacation time that they just forfeit at the end of the year because they didn't take it and it doesn't roll over to the next year. So it's really important that we make sure that we take some time off, even if it's just an afternoon. It doesn't have to be a long, big vacation. It just has to be a little bit of time that you take off to relax, calm down, relax, and slow your life down just a little bit so that you can catch your breath and rejuvenate, refuel your body so that you can then come back and apply and reuse and approach these new jobs and these new projects with as much energy and as much vigor as you did in the past. We tend to get fatigued. We tend to get tired. We tend to get overstressed when we work and work and work and work, and we don't take that little bit of time needed to relax a little bit and to wind down. Again, here in the United States, we tend to, you know, take work home with us. We go to the office early. We stay at the office late. We take work home with us, and this is in most professions. Teachers do this routinely. They're at the schools very, very early. They stay until late in the evening, and they're working over the weekends. So it doesn't matter if you're a teacher, if you're a business person, if you own your own company, if you're Wherever you work, whatever you're doing, you have to make sure that you take some time to refuel your batteries and get set so that you can get back to your tasks and get back to the projects with renewed energy. So there's three strategies. These three strategies hopefully will help you restructure, rethink the way that you approach new tasks, that you interpret the ways in which you accept these consequences of competence. I really and truly believe that it is a badge of honor, that it is a reward, that it is a recognition when a boss or when a person sees how hard you work and, you know, gives you the opportunity to use those skills for another project or in another situation. I know that some people interpret it as a negative, as a punishment, as a consequence requiring them to do more work than they would otherwise. But again, you know, when a business person or when a person in a decision-making position takes the opportunity and sees what you can do and then asks you to do something beyond what you're typically required to do or expected to do, that is a vote of confidence. That is a sign that they see something in you. That's how I choose to accept it, and that's how I choose to perceive it, and so I would encourage you to do the same thing. Now, certainly, as time goes by, you're going to evaluate that, and you're going to see if you're being taken advantage of, and you're going to see if you're being unduly abused, for lack of a better word, or put into situations where you're working more than anybody else. But when those opportunities for advancement come, and they look back and they see your willingness to work, you know, that's going to give you the opportunity to move forward, move ahead in your career, move ahead in your professional aspirations. And it begins day one. It begins with the hard work that you're going to do or that you can do. And students, it begins in school. It begins in that Algebra 1 class that you really are taking just because you have to take it. The effort that you put forward, the amount of work that you put into it, the quality and pride that you take in your work, it begins there. It begins so early in the process, at times when you don't even think that it's showing. But your teachers see it, your employers will see it, and when others see it and then they ask you to give them more, they're asking, you know, give me more, show me more of what you can do. The way that we interpret that, the way that we accept that, and the way that we use that to progress ourselves, to move ourselves forward, wow, that can be a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us. So, all right, that's it for this podcast. Make sure that you check us out on iTunes and YouTube. This video will be up on YouTube today. Also, you know, make sure that you check our books out on Amazon Kindle. We have the Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, Part 1, Behavior Management. It's available on Amazon Kindle, as well as the Elimination Diet Manual, which is a great way to look at how your diet may be affecting your physical and mental health. It's also available on Amazon Kindle. The ADHD course that we're working on is so close to being done. We're hoping to have it done pretty quickly. So we'll have that available for everybody as soon as we can. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you have a wonderful day. And until next time, I'm Dr. Bernie. Forget to be afraid.